Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, for more than a century after insulin was first introduced, we may be on the cusp of a transformative shift on how we treat type 1 diabetes. To help us understand what is in store for diabetes care, I'm joined now by Dr. Simon Piggott, Clinical Research Fellow with the Diabetes Complications Research Centre at the Conway Institute in UCD. Simon, you're very welcome. Let's start off with the really basic stuff, as I always like to do, and explain what is type 1 diabetes and how those who live with it deal with it day to day.
Perfect. Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks for having me. Type 1 diabetes is essentially an autoimmune disease. It typically occurs in patients either in their childhood age or their early adolescence. And what it essentially is it's autoimmune in nature, and the body identifies its own pancreatic cells as a target and as a foreign entity. And essentially the body identifies them, targets and destroys them. And this renders the body without its own natural creation of insulin. And in the absence of insulin, the body can't regulate its own blood sugars. So your blood sugars are very high within your blood. They can't enter your cells within the body. And the sugar, the glucose, is much needed in the cells for most of our cell pathways and cell life cycles. So in that way, it becomes quite quickly dangerous and can be life-limiting. Type 1 diabetes is a multi-system disease. It doesn't just affect the pancreas. It can affect your kidneys, it can affect your nerves, it can affect your eyesight, and then also it can affect your heart health, your brain health, you're at an increased risk of stroke, and it also affects your blood supply to your arms, your legs, and really any blood supply around the body can be affected.
And these aren't complications from the pancreas breaking down. These are other targets as a result of this mislabeling of pancreatic cells?
So basically they are knock-on effects of the body having persistently high glucose levels.
So what happens to the pancreas then when you get diabetes, you get this autoimmune response and attacks the pancreatic cells? What happens to do these cells die? Do people essentially lose or atrophy their pancreas?
Essentially, they are targeted and they undergo cell death. Okay, so they're essentially rendered useless. There's no residual insulin production, and that's very well documented clinically. There's a blood test we can send called the C-peptide, which can be reflective of whether or not your body is still producing ongoing insulin. And type 1 diabetics, that is typically flat.
Right. And is a pancreas, like obviously liver is a very homogenous, a very sort of samey organ. Is the pancreas like that? Or I'm just wondering, is it possible to reboot the pancreas? Before we talk about this treatment, is it possible to reboot the pancreas in some way?
So I suppose the pancreas is not as homogenous per se. You know, typically when I refer to the pancreatic cells, we refer to them as islet cells. And there's three different types, the alpha, the beta and the delta. Now, it's the beta cells that look after the secretion of insulin or the delivery of insulin around the body. And it's those cells that are targeted in the autoimmune process of type 1 diabetes.
Right. So this new research that we've brought you in to speak about is using lab-grown pancreatic cells. Mm-hmm. How are they getting these cells? What are they doing with them? And how does that help with those who are suffering from diabetes?
Absolutely. So this is a study that looks at pluripotent stem cells. Okay, so these are basically blank slate human cells, and they're taken from a human embryonic stem cell line. And basically what they do within the lab is through delivery of certain chemicals and chemical messages and nutrients, they then develop these blank slate human cells, these stem cells, to go on and develop into cells that resemble and mimic the beta cells of the pancreas.
Right. So essentially, you're creating new pancreatic cells, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But if someone is diabetic, that autoimmune response would theoretically kick back in if those pancreatic cells were reintroduced to the body, right?
Exactly. And that's a very good point. And, you know, this study has gained a lot of attention in the scientific community, the medical community and the wider media, because it's being hailed as a potential cure for type 1 diabetes. Now, I would say it's more likely it would be better described as the first step towards a curative therapeutic option for type 1 diabetes. You're absolutely correct. It can be seen as a functional cure for diabetes, but it does not evade the autoimmune response. So these patients who undergo transfusion of these stem cells or these kind of artificial pancreatic cells, they need lifelong immunosuppression. And that's similar to patients who undergo solid organ transplant, such as kidney transplant, heart transplant, lung transplant. And the reason for that immune immunosuppression is to allow the body to continue to accept the transfused artificial cells.
Right. Okay. So that is that is you know, that's a considerable treatment for someone to get. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the actual study itself, because it's a small number of people who received the treatment, but some of them became completely free of their dependency on insulin injections, which is, you know, for some it's a daily injection. Is that right? For others, they can manage it differently? Mm-hmm.
So with type 1 diabetes, typically it's different to type 2 diabetes per se. Type 1 diabetes, the gold standard of treatment is your multiple dose injections. So typically these patients will need their background, their basal insulin. That's a once daily, typically in the evening. And then the patients will also have to get a short acting delivery of insulin via an injectable pen at the time of their meal times. Okay. Now, everybody has different regimens and different ways of doing it. And there's been leaps and bounds, particularly in technology around the delivery of insulin. We've seen the continuous glucose monitor. We've seen the closed loop hybrid model, which sometimes can be referred to as the artificial pancreas.
And this is like a device on the arm that injects insulin when required?
Absolutely. So the device on the arm is most typically the continuous glucose monitor, and that can just be scanned and tell you exactly what your blood sugar is. It avoids the need for finger pricks. Then there's the insulin pump, which can be attached on your belt line and just in through a very small port in a fatty area, and that delivers your insulin. Now, if you combine the two in the hybrid loop, that technically can look after your blood sugar and deliver the units of insulin as needed. Now, that's not typically as widespread. What you most commonly see in Ireland is the continuous glucose monitoring.
Yeah, and then people still manage it with the injections.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so which is, you know, it is a burden and it comes with complications, as you say. It would be wonderful to get rid of this. But this particular trial, can you take me through what they did and what it means for the future of diabetic treatment?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is a landmark trial, really. It's the first trial of its type that has taken these pluripotent stem cells and turned them into insulin-producing pancreatic cells that are then transfused into patients living with type 1 diabetes. And those cells were shown throughout the trial to actually begin to function.
And so how long did that process take?
The transfusion of the cells. So typically over 30 to 60 minutes. It's actually a minimally invasive process. So what they do is they place a catheter or a small needle in through the portal vein, which is the main blood supply to your liver. And then they deliver the artificial cells through that port.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. So and then once you get that transfusion, how many times do you require that transfusion before you see a positive effect where you don't need to be injecting insulin?
So that's the fascinating thing about this trial. 12 of the 14 participants received the full dose and they only received one dose. Now, at 90 days, all of those participants had already been shown to be producing their own native insulin again.
Wow.
And at the one-year follow-up or the 12-month follow-up, 10 out of 12 participants had actually come off their exogenous or their outside insulin. Their body was maintaining their own physiological response to glucose, to carbohydrates, and they no longer were in need of insulin, which is groundbreaking.
But and presumably over time, the diabetic process will result in the attacking of those injected pancreatic cells, right?
So I suppose that's one of the questions that this study needs to answer. And there is going to be a five-year follow-up. And of course, this is now in a phase three trial also. But I suppose that is why the patients are on the immunosuppression, to try get as long as they can out of these cells. But what really struck me as interesting in this trial is when you look at the C-peptide. So the C-peptide is, as I said, it's the blood marker for production of our own internal insulin. And when they measured the C-peptide at set intervals throughout the trial, so you know, 90 days, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. Okay. And throughout the trial, what they were seeing actually was the C-peptide continued to rise, okay, over the 12 months. So that's indicative that these cells are not only surviving, but they're actually beginning to thrive, that they're not tiring out.
Now, swapping, a diabetic treatment of daily insulin with, you know, top-up active insulin, every single day with immunosuppressant therapy, is that swapping one thing or robbing Peter to pay Paul? I mean, what sort of complications do you have when you suppress your immune system over a long period of time?
Absolutely. So with the issue with immunosuppression is the reason why it's being prescribed is to dampen your immune response to allow you to accept these foreign cells. But in that process, you are also at risk of incurring a more severe illness type or a phenotype. So these patients who are immunosuppressed, they have to be very careful with their seasonal vaccination. We would encourage them at times of flu season to make sure they're wearing a mask, even if they aren't symptomatic in themselves. They have to be very careful to help avoid those things.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of it is patients living with type 1 diabetes, you're looking at multiple finger prick tests throughout the day. You're looking at that constant anxiety of what am I eating, carb counting, titrating my insulin doses. And that is the toss-up, really.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of us take it for granted. You know, I wouldn't be able to fathom it, but for a lot of people, it is, unfortunately, their reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose if they can figure out how to manage the immunosuppressant and live healthily in that way, it seems like a very positive trial.
Absolutely.
But there are other mechanisms looking at trying to treat diabetes that don't involve immunosuppressants, right?
In terms of the medications and the closed
loop? Are there other trials that look at a different mechanism that doesn't require immunosuppressants at the moment? Or is that why this is so interesting and important? Is it, mm-hmm. is it because this is really the only thing that's worked so far, other than, you know, artificially or mm-hmm. Automatically running insulin through pumps and monitors?
So I suppose other trials are also ongoing in similar veins. Now, they do all include certain variants of immunosuppression.
Right.
By essence, type 1 diabetes is that autoimmune condition. It's a separate entity to type 2. Now, that's when I describe this paper as a potential first step towards a curative therapeutic option for type 1 diabetes, is that I think that would be the final piece, or the really exciting piece, is that if this therapy could somehow become immune-evading, whether that's via genomic editing or whether that's via a device of the delivery or of how the cells are delivered, that's where the real kind of golden moment to me is. But this is absolutely, you know, absolutely groundbreaking and a landmark trial in itself.
Yeah, just to be devil's advocate for a minute, we've had stem cells for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
This theory of, you know, using stem cells to replace, you know, cells that aren't performing their function anyway. Mm-hmm. Why is this taking so long?
Mm-hmm. It's a very valid point. And, you know, perhaps why it took so long is why this has gained such attention now in the media. You know, it does prove something fundamental within endocrinology and within transplantation, in that, you know, you can take stem cells and you can turn them into working human tissue that can actually replace a missing function. And that's what's really exciting about this. It's the holy grail of regenerative medicine. Mm. You know, the pancreas is in itself an organ, and here we are delivering artificial cells to help bypass the destruction that has occurred during type 1 diabetes. So it's something that the academic community has been dreaming about essentially for decades. And even if we were to go back 10 years, my mentor and my colleague in UCD, Professor Catherine Godson, she was on air with Pat Kenny discussing Dr. Doug Melton's laboratory work in Boston. And what he had shown 10 years ago was that in the mouse model, that there was evidence that they could create stem cell or generate stem cells to become glucose-sensitive and insulin-secreting cells. And that at the time was very exciting. Here we are 10 years later, and we're seeing that being rolled out in the human population. And again, Dr. Doug Melton is a driving force behind this trial. So it is a really exciting moment in research for diabetes. And, you know, it's the trajectory we all hope and want for within science.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I sound very almost a bit like, how come we haven't figured this out? Obviously, it's a very difficult thing to do, but it's just because the concept of stem cells have been with us for so long. We've had
absolutely
IPS. These blank stem cells reprogrammed for quite some time. So that's the only reason. I know this is obviously very difficult to do, which is why it hasn't been done before. Very exciting work. Let's hope it bodes very well in phase 3 trials, which are coming up. For now, Dr. Simon Piggott from the Comey Institute at UCD, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.